Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Looking ahead to week one for the Titans coming up against Arizona. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and Crane Works and Rental Works. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. Crane Works and Rental Works, your source for crane and equipment rental. Visit CraneWorks.com. TD, we've made it. Week one is here. We're just a couple of days away from game day. It's a good day to be alive.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's a great day to be alive. We get ready to unwrap this present and see what this team that we've been watching in training camp and preseason, see what it really looks like. I'm looking forward to it.
So, TD, what is more intriguing to you if you're watching this team on Sunday as a Titans fan? Would it be this offense and what they're going to look like all on the field together at the same time? Or is it Bud Dupree, your highly priced pass rusher that was such a problem for this team last year? How would you go about answering that question?
Yeah, if I were a Titans fan, the thing I would be really anticipating, obviously both of them, but just seeing how Julio Jones and Ryan Tannehill are going to be on the same page. That's really the one that I would be anticipating if I were a fan. And you know, even as a reporter, that's something that I anticipate. That's why for Whiteboard Wednesday, hey,
that's right,
we got it all
to
a bang. Right with that first play. You know, I think that's something that they should do. I just look forward to seeing how that works. And one of the things that was really good to see yesterday was their communication before one of the snaps that they took during our individual period. And it was just extensive, and Julio Jones went through the movements of the post corner route that he was going to run, and he went out and ran it, and they talked a little bit afterwards. I think that's a really good sign of the communication, and that's something to be excited about.
So, TD, I'm certainly not a doctor. I mean, I don't know what I'm looking at in terms of health out there, but I do see A.J. Brown, you know, with nothing on his legs when he's out there. And then, of course, he's not out there Wednesday. He's on the injury report this week. But just from what you've seen and from what you can gather from all this, do you think this week is an example of something they might do all year, like maybe just give him Wednesday off just to try to manage the knee? Or where do you think both of those guys are health-wise?
Yeah, I think they're both really healthy. And for me, seeing A.J. Brown out there with those naked knees, I think that's a good sign. I really don't feel that there's a true injury. I think it is maintenance, and it's just to manage the pounding on the knees. And I think that's something that they're going to continue to do. And a good example of how healthy they are, if you watch that drill that they do where you got a quick feet, foot fire, you know, one past the line, one behind the line, one pass, so on and so forth, and they go through that smoothly. Now, if you have a bad ankle or if you have a bad knee, you're not going to be able to do that so effortlessly, and I think that's a good example of them being 100% healthy. And A.J. Brown, he has that bounce. You know, you watch him out there, he's just like a kid, just out there having fun, and there's bounce to him as he runs and things like that. And if you have a bad knee, you're not going to have that type of bounce.
TD, what are you most looking forward to, I guess most curious to see out of Todd Downing? This is the first time with the Titans he'll be the offensive coordinator in a game that actually matters in the regular season. What intrigues you the most about Todd Downing week one, trying to work all of these pieces together and trying to get all these high-level players on the same page?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I'll tell you, this is why I asked Todd Downing about patience yesterday at his presser, because that's the thing that I want to see. You have all these weapons, you got to get the football, but one of those weapons is 22, right? Derrick Henry. And when you watch how the Titans were under Arthur Smith, I mean, he had an uncanny ability to just stay patient and keep hammering at the running game, even when it wasn't going well, you know. And you look at times where they had to take back the momentum of the game, they go shoe to shoe, and they run the football, even when they were down by two scores. So I want to see if Todd Downing is going to have that patience, whereas Derrick Henry, you know, he'll go negative one, he'll go 4 yards, 2 yards, and then next thing you know, it's 70, and it looks like, you know, he had a great day. But that was because they kept pounding at it. And I want to see if Ty Downing is willing to do that, because you know, that was one of the things that I was really impressed with as far as Coach Art calling the plays, where he gave that rushing attack a chance to work.
Yeah, and Downing is such a – I mean, there's so many key players and story – or, you know, people and storylines with this team, TD. But I just look at Downing as – it's almost like Tannehill a little bit. Like, if things go well, you know, it will still be easy to say, yeah, well, they should have gone well. Look at the players you have, or with Tannehill, look who you're throwing to. But what do you think – from what you've seen of Todd here in this role as he's talked to us, and even what you know of – the 1 year as OC, we both know that the OC is, you know, the easiest person to nitpick, really, in a football team, right? Because we all see exactly what he's doing with his job all day long, and you can second guess anything that doesn't work. But what is your feeling for him right now?
Yeah, I think for him, I like the way he's so involved, just as far as instruction wise, and just how he reviews the play calls with. Like, he'll have them line up, right, and he'll review the play call and say, on this, you got what? You know, I think the teacher aspect of him is definitely there. But the other thing that I really like is just how he's willing to understand that, hey, you know what, from week to week, it's going to change as far as what they have to focus on doing. And he just seems very not – how can I put it? He seems very much in control of, okay, we're going to get all the guys involved, but this week it might be this guy, next week it might be the other one. That's a good thing, and it doesn't seem like he's going to try to force feed anybody the football or force anything to happen when, you know, the game plan may dictate something else, if you follow what I'm saying. You know, so I think that's a good thing for him. But I mean, really, we have to see what happens. You know, we could talk all this right now, but you know, if they go out there on Sunday and they don't emphasize the passing game against that secondary, there's a lot of questions that need to be asked.
ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So TD, with that in mind, we talked about it earlier with Bud Dupree. But as you factor in what he's been brought in to do, how much he's getting compensated to do it, what would you consider to be a successful season for Bud Dupree this year? Whether that's a sack total, his impact on the defense, just whatever way you'd like to take that answer.
Yeah, I think double-digit sacks at a minimum. And also, I think it's really going to come down to that whole group doubling what they did last year sack-wise. That's number perspective for me, but I think really it comes down to him being someone that can help pull Harold Landry along and just be a guy that helps this team finally start finishing, right? That those guys up front, they don't finish the deal as much as they should, and that's why the sack totals you see aren't really high. But Dupree is a finisher. Like, he'll go and he will take the quarterback down. It's not a matter of you know, being around him and flushing him out the pocket and he makes a big play. No, it's taking him down. That's what Dupree does, and I think that's a big-time thing. And you know, we talk about the sack totals, but you also have to factor in his ability against the run. I mean, he's one of the most complete outside linebacker types, you know, because he's equally as strong against the run as he is as a pass rusher.
What do you expect the sub-package to look like, TD? And understanding that, I mean, I don't know what the deal is with David Long. I mean, he's out there partially with the hamstring. But how do you think that looks, and how do you think it looks different from last year? Not just personnel, but how Shane Bowen's going to attack with it.
Yeah, I because there's been such an emphasis, and talk is talk. As PK said, you know, we got to see it on the field. But I expect to see these guys, you know, judging from what Shane Bowen and Christian Fulton and Jack Rabbit Jenkins and Kevin Byard and Amani Hooker, from what they've said, I expect to see them up in a receiver's face at the line of scrimmage on most snaps, not just third and medium. I expect to see that on most snaps, because they're saying that they're going to be focused on, you know, challenging and being aggressive. So that's what I expect there on the outside. I think Elijah Molden will eventually be the guy that's the primary nickel. I like some of the things that they're doing as far as, you know, putting Jayon Brown and David Long on the field at the same time, as you mentioned, in that third down situation. But then also one of the other things that really intrigues me is them bumping Rashad Weaver into three tech. And you know, he's someone that, you know, is a long defender. So I want to see how that works, you know, inside on those guys who aren't used to going against long tackles, right? They're used to going against those shorter, squatty, fire hydrant types. So I want to see how that works. You know, Bud Dupree and Landry, you know, that's a nice front there when you got Dupree and Landry with Weaver and obviously Jeffrey Simmons. So I think it's going to be a heavy rotation on that line. But the main thing for me is seeing how much those guys' talents outside. That's a must. It's a mandatory thing. And that should help the guys up front get home.
Well, TD, we finally made it. We've been looking forward to week one for a long time. Looking forward as well to your coverage coming up of the Titans and the Cardinals. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it. And, you know, I went out the side with the other OGs, man, Glenn and Wyatt and PK. I think this year is the most anticipated one since last season.
Yeah, get him. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so, but wait, that's fine. So you think that last year was more anticipated than this year?
Not more anticipated, but the most since last season. That's how I look at it.
Oh, man.
See, there we go.
All right. All right.
A lot of people on Team PK.
I'm gonna come in that press box raging on Sunday, TD.
TD, we appreciate you, brother.
Thanks, man.
All right, take it easy.
Absolutely. Titans NFL Nation reporter for ESPN, host of Talking with TD, Teron Davenport, our guest, presented by FreedomTireGuys.com and CraneWorks and RentalWorks. FreedomTireGuys.com, Nashville's premier mobile tire company, online at FreedomTireGuys.com. CraneWorks and RentalWorks, your source for crane and equipment rentals. Visit CraneWorks.com. We'll be right back. We'll react a little bit to what TD had to say there. Continue to take your thoughts in advance of the Titans and the Cardinals. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, is back. Get your friends or family and play as a group and sign up to play today. Pick the three football underdog teams you think will win each week for a chance to win weekly prizes like a pair of tickets to a sporting event or to a concert in Nashville. Go to thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up and play now. Silly Underdogs is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
I'd like to approach the floor, please.
Okay.
May I have a moment?
You go right ahead.
I'm gonna do this one time, and then we'll drop it. Okay.
Okay.
This is the sentence. This is how it starts. This, okay, so 2021 season.
Correct.
This is the most anticipated Titans season in Nashville since. There's no wiggle room here. This season is the most since. So you are going back to the last time it was at least this much or that it was more. There's no wiggle room here. I'm right. Everybody else is wrong. Except all the people who correctly understand the English language and how to read that sentence.
Well, people just keep piling up against you on the other side, man.
Well, it's depressing. And honestly, I feel bad for them. You know, I'm going to flip this around and say I feel a little bit under attack. But honestly, I know I'm right. So now I feel sorry for all of you who don't get it. This is the most since. That means you are going back to... You can't go back to last year when it was less anticipated. If you think last year was less anticipated, that cannot be your answer.
Jim texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, you're technically correct.
Okay, we don't need to say anything else.
But you left it open for interpretation. If last year was a 5 in anticipation and this year is a 6, then it's the most anticipated since last year. It would be more accurate to say it is also more anticipated than last year.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, like Wyatt and Kaharski did that. Because, again, when they gave that answer, I said, wow, you guys actually think last year was more anticipated. And Glennon does. That's fine. I mean, I disagree with Glennon, but, like, Glennon understood the assignment.
Okay.
If I'm technically correct, I don't I'm sorry, but like I can't hold there. Hands here. I don't know another way that I would ask it differently. Like, what would be the better way to ask it so there wouldn't be confusion? Is that like the other, you know, they didn't have confusion. I think Teresa and Beauclair, Teresa said 2009, Beauclair said 2000.
Yeah.
I think they would also say last year was really highly anticipated, but it wasn't as much as this year. So I'm going to go back to the year I think that it was this much.
Well,
wasn't hard, and they did that.
You could say, out of all of the Titans seasons, including this season, which season has been the most anticipated?
Yeah.
Right, but I wasn't looking for number one. I'm trying to look for, like, how long has it been since? You know what I mean? I mean, you're right. That would work, but I'm not looking for what was number – I think number one clearly was 2000, right?
Oh, yeah.
It had to be, coming off Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. Teresa and Beauclair had no problem with this. Glennon didn't either. And I don't want to rip on Wyatt because he's too nice, so I'm just going to devote all my anger and venom toward Kaharski.
TD, you
really hurt me, TD.
Yeah, TD.
Hit me right in the heart, man.
That was a nice little punch to the gut for Rex Road there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those weeks. Blood pressure rising.
What do you think of what TD said? Double-digit sacks, the baseline of expectations for Bud Dupree, given what he's been compensated by the Titans.
Yeah.
I do not disagree.
Yeah, well, I think I said, we've talked about this before, and I would say, like, if it's like 8 sacks and great against the run and has to be doubled all the time and they have a lot of sacks as a team and their defense is way better, then I don't think at the end of the year it's going to be like, oh, Bud Dupree, what a disaster.
No.
You know, I would agree that in general, if you're paid $16.5 million, then, and that's your position, then double-digit sacks is a fair expectation. I'm just saying I think that he could have a huge impact and maybe come up a little short of that, and it would be just fine.
Well, I'm saying double-digit sacks to justify the money you're being paid. I think you could still have an impact on this defense with the situation you're throwing out there. Now, is that worth $16.5 million? Maybe it is. I don't know. But
I mean, look, Pro Football Focus, well, and even true. Titans coaches both think Clowney had an impact last year.
That's true.
You know? So, but it's definitely at that position. It's not like offensive skill players. I mean, even like Kevin Byard could have a great year this year and have one pick, right?
Yes.
So stats defensively, I mean, Jeffrey Simmons could have no stats and be great. But that position probably is the most, like, stat-based performance position on defense. So, I think double-digit sacks is – you got another game, too.
That is true.
If you're healthy, 17 games, 10 sacks, that's – now, of course, he could have 10 sacks, and they could still not be that good on D. He could have 12 sacks.
Yeah.
And they could, you know, so – what does he do to the overall picture? And that's where I thought Clowney last year was going to help that, whether he had sack numbers or not, and he didn't.
He did not.
But he's gearing up for a big year in Cleveland.
Well, he is, and we wish him the best of luck on that front in Cleveland. We'll see what happens. Can you believe that the line is 5.5, like in Kansas City at home in that game?
I'm surprised. I mean, the Browns,
Cleveland's
are
good team.
Yeah. So I guess typically when you think, you know, two good teams who are supposed to be, you know, contenders in a conference play each other, that you'd have less than a touchdown line. I just feel like Kansas City at home with an offensive line that looks like it's way better.
Yep.
I would think that'd be a little bit more than a touchdown. It's the NFL, though.
It is.
What we saw last night. You just don't see big lines.
Tampa Bay won by 2 last night. So it's a competitive league, as they say.
What was that, by the way? That was 8.5?
It was 8.5 on our show yesterday. I think at one point it got up to 9 yesterday. So Cowboys covered.
Yep. It's all that matters, right?
Good teams
Cowboys
win, great teams cover, as Chase McCabe says.
Yeah, I saw a lot of tweets from McCabe.
he was feeling it last
night.
Cowboys
fan that he is.
It was a tough one for Chase McCabe last night. Interesting to see. And you heard PK bring it up earlier in the show, Christian Fulton. That's been something that I've been ready to watch. Once the bullets are live and things get flying, how does Christian Fulton respond? How does he play in terms of, you know, we know the spring, the speed that he brings to the table. Can he recognize what's going on quickly and just be able to read and react out there? I know you've watched a lot of Christian Fulton this training camp, this preseason. You're pretty high on Christian Fulton based on what you've seen. And now it's time for him to go out there and prove it, because I think it's important for your second-round pick from a year ago. From that draft class, you need to get something out of that draft class. And interested to see Christian Fulton coming up on Sunday.
Well, I mean, I think I'd put him right behind Dupree, because so much hinges on him, on the defense being better this year, on him being a big part of that, but also on from that draft class and down the road too, you know, being a like a foundational starting corner on this defense for a few years. I'm high on him, but I've got the asterisks too. I mean, I agree with Kaharsky. Like, it is you have to fight the urge to read much into what you see.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of times you see something in practice, and it does play out close to that in the season. But there's plenty.
And then you get Vanderbilt ETSU.
Well, right there you go. Yeah. Now, granted, I mean, the NFL at college,
it's
and
much
it's,
different.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh man, that Vanderbilt defense. Because the thing with Vanderbilt is, I knew that their offense had had some success last year. So it's like, okay, well, it's a new era with defensively. And then we saw what happened with Fulton. I mean, that's the problem, is that he just didn't get to see AJ or Julio much in camp. He did get a lot of work. I mean, I'd say of the starters, he got the most work for sure, right? I think he absolutely did. They kept him out there. They would take Jenkins off. They'd take Byard off, Hooker. You know, Fulton was out there. They're like, get him work. And again, I thought he played well, but how many top NFL receivers did he actually see in that time? Not a lot. So there's still a lot to prove and find out with him. I would say that, like, it's an encouraging trend. But you know what's going to happen Monday if he gets torched for a couple touchdowns on Sunday. I mean, it's this is when it really counts. And all that we thought for the past month, and even going back to the spring or whatever, it can be unthought really fast.
When we come back, we will continue to look ahead our final two divisions to get to, the NFC South and, of course, the AFC South as well. We'll begin with the NFC South coming up next. But first, I got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook, and the NFL is back, thankfully, and FanDuel Sportsbook is celebrating with 40-1 odds on any Week 1 game. And who doesn't want to win $200 on a $5 bet? It's that simple. New customers get 40-1 odds when you place your first wager. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. So we've talked about the Kansas City and Cleveland line as well. Despite Michelle's objections, give me Buffalo against Pittsburgh on that line as well. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe and secure, and they get you your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So just sign up with promo code ROB, and you could win $200 on a $5 bet. Once again, that promo code is ROB, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. A max bonus of $200. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. 102.5 The Game and Cromwell Media Nashville are helping our friends at WQMV in Waverly rebuild from the catastrophic floods last month. You can head on over to thegamenashville.com to learn how you can help as well, as the radio station suffered major damage to their structure, equipment, and more. We want everyone affected by the floods to know you aren't alone and to keep being Humphreys County strong. Of course, our thoughts and prayers continue to be with the people in Humphreys County from the devastating floods last month, and that hits close to home. I've got some family out that way, so absolutely. Just continue to be with thoughts and prayers with those people as they continue to try to recover.
And the Titans will have Waverly in for a home game Thursday, and have done a lot. A lot of people have done a lot, Titans included, to help them, which is great to see. Speaking of thoughts and prayers, Terry McCormick tweeted last night a picture of him in the hospital with COVID-19. So send all you've got to Terry. We've missed him this week.
Yep.
And hopefully we'll see him in that press box or out on that practice field soon.
Yeah, absolutely. So continue to be praying for Terry McCormick as well. Joe, we've looked ahead at each division so far this week as week one scheduled to get kicked off. Tampa Bay and Dallas got things rolling last night. And we're going to kick things off today with the NFC South. We'll get to the AFC South coming up next. And I realize Tampa Bay has already played and they're 1-0. But I don't think the game last night changes my view of that division all that much. Spoiler alert, I'm going to have Tampa Bay winning this division.
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, it used to be really interesting. Well, for a year. It was a one-year really interesting situation with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. And a lot of this division story in recent years has just basically been Drew Brees, you know, trying to get back. And, boy, they've had chances and they've been hosed. It's the tortured division, you know, the Saints – and then the Falcons, 28-3, you know, and all that they did to try to get back in the last few years, and eventually, you know, you're in that go-for-it mode like the Titans are in now, and eventually it gets difficult to maintain that, and they never got back either. And then you've got the – I don't know what the heck's going on with the Panthers, but they're in the division too. They're also in the AFC South – or the NFC South.
They are in the NFC South. Sam Darnold, the quarterback.
Yeah.
How do we think that's going to go?
I don't know. It's interesting that Christian McCaffrey is such a seemingly unanimous number one pick in fantasy. I get it. I mean, he's going to get the ball all the time, but I don't know if they're going to be any good at all. I'm like, Darnold is – it's like so many young quarterbacks in this league. I do feel like people are so quick – to move on and give up on them, especially like if they play for bad franchises. But I also have watched some Darnold, and I don't know. I don't know how good he is. Definitely going to be. I think Matt Rhule's a good coach.
Yep.
And they've got, I mean, they're an okay team.
DJ Moore. They're all right.
Robbie Anderson, yeah, they're okay. But they're fourth. Well, are they fourth place? I don't know. Is it possible that the Falcons?
I think it is possible that the Falcons are fourth
place. I mean, most people probably it's one of those two, right?
Like, I would think so.
But the thing is, I think you could make the case that the Saints are going to plummet too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if Jameis continues to throw the ball to the other team, it's going to be hard to win that way. Now, you know, he had his LASIK surgery, so maybe Jameis is ready to go. Maybe he can see better, and he's learned. And by all accounts, from hearing people talk down there to Drew Brees himself, a year kind of hanging out behind Drew Brees apparently was very good for Jameis Winston and very beneficial for him. Now, how does that translate on the field, making decisions, throwing the ball? We'll find out.
I really – look, terrible. The picks 2 years ago, I mean, it was – there was just some really, really bad decisions.
Yep.
It's not like he's been that guy his whole career, though. And he hasn't been number one pick good. But he hasn't been absolute turnover machine every single year of his career. That year was extreme. I think Jameis Winston has all the tools. I really do. I mean, all the throws, different speeds, great touch on the ball. I think that I'd be really intrigued by this team if the Michael Thomas stuff wasn't going on.
Yeah.
Like if Michael Thomas was locked in and all good and looking like he looked a couple years ago with Kamara, I'd be really interested with a nice H-back blocker trick play dude and Taysom Hill.
Although apparently Marquez Callaway looks really good down
yeah.
there. Like apparently he's just lighting it up, which that's the most Tennessee Vols thing ever is good player at Tennessee. Not an especially great player at Tennessee, but good player. And then he might be their number one wide receiver this year in New Orleans.
Yeah, good for him. And yeah, it's kind of like the Tennessee thing. Like, why then wasn't he utilized enough at Tennessee? But I must say, I'm surprised by that.
Yeah,
I mean,
he was undrafted,
really good player.
Yeah,
in college, I didn't see him making a huge impact in the NFL because he's not. I mean, he's not super fast,
right?
Big physical, but again, that's not what it's all about. So it'd be great to see him have a good year, and they still have a pretty good defense. It just comes out like if it's 30 pick Jameis, then it's that they're much more likely to compete with the Falcons and Panthers for that side than have any be within shouting distance of the Bucks. I don't think anybody will be, though.
I don't think so either. And to your point about Jameis and the turnovers, I mean, 15 picks, 18 picks, 11 picks, 14 picks, and then 30.
Yeah,
that's a heck of a jump.
Right.
Now, none of those that I read off are great
no.
in terms of interception numbers, but 30's in a different world.
But if you have, you know, if you have 30-plus TD passes and 11 picks, that's great.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, double figures picks, you can probably count on that. That's pretty established.
Now, he did have 5,100 yards when he threw those 30 picks.
Well, that's the thing.
He's just chucking it, man. He threw the ball 626 times that year.
I mean, they went to play the Rams, and the Rams were, you know, really good. They went in there and just trashed them. It was a little bit of a preview of what they could be with that defense, but also he was just great. I mean, he's an intriguing player in this league, and I think some people are probably too down on him and down on the idea that he could have a big bounce back. And I would think that a year of watching and working with Drew Brees could have some benefits.
Yeah, I would think so too. And he's got a running back. He's got a running game to go along with it. Now, they did just cut Murray, and looks like he's going to end up with the Ravens now. But Alvin Kamara, I mean, that offense still runs through him, and he's going to be heavily involved not only in the running game but the passing game as well. So, you know, Jameis Winston has never had a back quite like Alvin Kamara to work with either. I wonder if instead of throwing the ball 626 times in a season, if you could get that number more down to the low 400s, probably be a little bit better.
Well, but also just having him as a great outlet in the pass game.
Yep.
He hasn't had that. So I imagine – some maybe more of those passes, even if he throws a ton, will be, you know, 5 yards from the line of scrimmage, and then you let Kamara take it another 10.
So with that in mind, how do you think the this division finishes? What order do you have these teams? Is Tampa Bay at number one?
Yeah, I'm going to go – I'll go Bucks. I've just talked myself into Saints second. I mean, I think the Saints, unless Jameis is really a disaster, I think they're in their own second tier, but it's almost like tier one Tampa Bay and then tier three Saints and then tier four. Like no one's in tier two. There's no one contending with the Bucks. And then I would go, you know, I will go Falcons, Panthers. It's a little bit of like I think Arthur Smith's going to be a good head coach in this league.
Yep.
I'm really intrigued to see Kyle Pitts. I mean, Matt Ryan is still a good player. He's not an elite quarterback. He's not an MVP candidate like he used to be. But I don't buy that he's out of gas. I mean, maybe I'm biased from watching a 44-year-old last night just
sling it.
I don't think, you know, and his new coaching staff, new era. I mean, he still has some other good weapons as well. I mean, Calvin Ridley is a really good receiver. They're not good on D. They're not going to be good on D. But I'll give them a slight edge over the Panthers in the race to avoid the basement.
I've got the same. Got the Bucks, the Saints, the Falcons, and the Panthers, and I think the Bucks win this division by like week 14. I think it's pretty easily wrapped up for Tampa Bay this year. So we'll see what happens on that front. But now the moment you've all been waiting on, the AFC South. We'll get to those predictions and the breakdown of this division coming up next. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And later this morning, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena and Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game tomorrow, you win a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. We'll be right back here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 1025, The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. You can save cash with a purchase of a $10 gift card for Retro Snow for only $5. Nashville's original shaved ice truck, bringing back snowballs with creativity and pure cane sugar, dreaming up new flavor combinations and adding fresh, delicious toppings, is what makes Retro Snow Nashville's original shaved ice truck. Go visit the first ever permanent location in the nation's at 806 51st Avenue North, open Friday 4 to 7 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 2 to 7 p.m. Check out Retro Snow's truck schedule at RetroSnowTruck.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Listen to that. That's incredible. Retro Snow, and then that was not planned.
That's pretty good timing. Pretty good timing.
There's the Canada's contribution to rap. Well, other than Drake.
Well, there is him.
There's Drake. And then there's MC Snow. You know, one half dozen the other.
Who doesn't love MC Snow?
Snow.
That's a great song.
Great.
It's a great song today.
Yeah, it's a fun song. It's fun to look back.
Robbie and Rex are brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. So, Joe, we're finally here. We've gone through the rest of the divisions. Now time for the AFC South. And this is an intriguing division in some ways, really, because unless I am just totally blown away and all of us are shocked, it's going to come down to two teams, the Titans and the Colts. I like Trevor Lawrence, and I think Trevor Lawrence could sneak up and maybe get some people this year, and who knows? Maybe the Titans are going to be on that list. I don't know that Houston's going to be able to sneak up and get very many people whatsoever, but shout out to Rod Taylor. Hope he enjoys himself.
Starting quarterback
for the Houston Texans. So with that in mind, as you look at the race that we think is going to be between the Titans and the Colts, I like the Colts. I like the roster. It's just difficult for me to overcome the Carson Wentz situation. Number one, I don't have confidence he's going to be healthy all year because that's how his career has played out so far. And number two, if he is, I don't know what version of Carson Wentz they're getting. And to have that much uncertainty at quarterback, to me, makes it very difficult for me to pick them ahead of the Titans.
Well,
it really does.
And his availability could be jeopardized by the vaccination status too. So there's health, there's the refusal to get the vaccination, and then there's, okay, then if he's out there and he's fine, what is he as a player? It's a lot of questions. I still think if he's just okay, certainly better than last year, but he's out there, he's available, and he's still, you know, pretty good, okay. That's a good enough team, I think, to make a run at the playoffs.
Agreed.
But I look, it sounds homerish. I don't think that the Colts are going to win the division. I don't think it's going to come down to the absolute wire either. I think the Titans are going to win by a couple games. I mean, I'm picking the Titans to go 12-5.
Yep.
I mean, we already had to do it at the Athletic, you know, like the division picks, and I picked the Colts to go 10-7, and I think that's about what they are. And I think the Titans, and that's, if you look at the Titans' schedule, I mean, 12-5 would be an achievement because, and again, this whole division has the problem this year of playing the NFC West.
Yep.
It's the worst possible, like when you're talking about competing with the other AFC teams for playoff positioning, you couldn't have a worse draw than playing the NFC West this year. And still with that, I've got the Titans going 12-5.
I've got them going 13-4.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I do.
I went Jared both, I believe.
I went game by game with the schedule yesterday, and I did it many times. 13-4 is what I've come out with. And look,
do you remember the four losses you have?
San Francisco, Seattle. I want to say...
So there you go. I mean, right there, you got the two NFC West.
Yeah,
I
think I might have had the Rams on there too. So I might have three NFC West teams.
Showing a little belief in Matthew Stafford.
A little bit of belief in Matthew Stafford.
Huh?
It may not have been.
He's
the Rams.
On my fantasy team, Robbie.
That's true.
Robbie would never draft him.
No, I did draft Russell Wilson in one league.
Yeah, not surprised.
Throw that ball all over the place, man.
But that's great. So, but four losses and you had three of them for the. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a tough schedule. But again, that's for the whole division. And again, I'm not even.
Well, Kansas City was one of them, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And they still. So you got them beating the Bills.
Yep.
For example, mm-hmm. you got them sweeping the Colts.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, there's hard games on this schedule. Even, you know, the Saints is like the extra game coming in here.
Yep. I just think this team's going to be really good. I really do. And look, I'm not saying that they're foolproof and that they can't tank a little bit, but you know, I have a belief that the defense is going to be improved. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying they're going to be a top 10 defense or anything like that, but I think the defense is going to be good enough to where this offense, it's just really hard to stop. Like, it's it's very difficult for me to imagine very many teams defensively having success against this Titans team. And I realize it's a new offensive coordinator, and you can't predict injuries or anything like that, but if they can stay relatively healthy, I just don't really know how you stop this Titans offense. Like, it would take a massive screw-up for this offense not to be an elite-level offense.
Yeah, if healthy.
Yes.
Of course. But, I mean, that's every team. Anybody trying to predict any team, like, to me, like, you start with,
okay. You assume with health.
Yeah, it's always assuming health. And I agree, other than, no, the right tackle position being a disaster, they can't find anybody. They've got a bunch of backups and no starter, and they're bad there. That's one, I guess, question. I mean, there's always the possibility, you know, Ryan. A lot of leagues still waiting for Tannehill to be Miami Tannehill, or the Todd Downing thing. I mean, if Todd Downing is a significant and clear step down from Arthur Smith, and I do think it's a high bar and it's a tough act to follow.
Sure.
But other than that, if Todd Downing is good, they figure out right tackle, I don't see it either. I don't see many Sundays where they don't have a lot of fun on that side of the ball. And I'm with you on the D. I think it's going to be better. I don't know how much better, of course. Like even yesterday, it struck me a little bit at the press conference. They had both coordinators. Like Shane, and it's not the first time, but it really struck me yesterday because it's like the season's here, and Shane Bowen is just so much more confident and vocal and secure in what he is doing. I think somewhere down the road, you know, if Mike Vrabel writes the autobiography 20 years from now or something, he might look back at 2020 and say, yeah, I probably should have named a D coordinator or named Shane or whatever. I think it's been a huge benefit. Now, again, if they come out and give up 40 Sunday, then everybody can laugh at that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I believe it based on what I've seen now, that there's a big benefit to him being the guy. Everybody looks to Shane now. He doesn't coach a position. And, I mean, we'll see how good he is. I never thought last year, you know, should have been seen as like some indictment of his ability to ever be a good D coordinator in the league. And here's his chance now to respond.
Yep. So I'm going to assume the Titans are in first, the Colts are in second. Do you have the Jags in third for the division?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the Texans are probably going to be 32 in the league.
I would say there's a good chance.
I mean, I think it's the Texans and Lions in a real battle for the number one pick, for whatever that would mean. Here's a question, though. I mean, it's like not almost not worth talking. I mean, the most interesting thing about all that is obviously Trevor Lawrence, but then the whole Urban Meyer thing is fascinating. I'm a little bit less on the he's going to be a complete disaster thing, but I will be interested to see how he handles losing double-digit games in a season when that guy could go through, like, you know,
more than a decade.
A decade of college football and lose 15 games or whatever. I mean, that's going to be really interesting. But I will ask you this. In, let's say, 7 years from now.
Okay.
Who will have more division titles from now, this year, starting?
Okay.
Since people struggle with the word this. Not saying you necessarily, but, you know, just in general.
Okay.
This year and the next year, who will have more division titles at the end of that? The Titans or the Jaguars?
The Titans.
Okay. Quick answer.
Yeah.
Because I do think that Trevor Lawrence could be one of those guys.
I think
in
he
this
could
league.
Be too. I think sometimes where you go matters just as much as your talent, and I don't like where he's gone. Now, is he good enough maybe to overcome that? Yes. But Jacksonville's a rough place, man.
Oh, it is right now. Yeah, and of course they've had to redo it all over again, and we'll see how this goes. I do think that it's possible. If the Urban haters are right, and it's just going to be he just can't adjust to the program, then that's going to waste some of those years of Trevor Lawrence. But they're also going to get, you know, more high picks. And I don't think that they're like a hopeless roster. They're just several players away.
Well, and I feel great from the Titans' standpoint. And, you know, lots can change. We know this. But I feel really good about this year and next year, them still being pretty good. So that's two. And it's difficult for me to look much farther beyond that, not knowing what Derrick Henry is going to be.
Because that's the thing. Part of that question is also, are we anticipating, are we forecasting a Titans tumble in 3 years?
Yeah. I got somebody on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that says Jaguars easily in all capital letters. Easily.
Easily.
With more of it?
Yeah. Okay. Is that Todd from Jacksonville?
It is not. He's a Titans fan. But how much longer is our window really open? I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question. I guess my follow-up would be, how much do you trust the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, and also, like, the Colts could win some, too. I mean,
yeah.
But, yeah. But, you know, the thing is, when your team is in the spot the Titans are in right now, it's kind of like life, right? Are you living in the moment?
That's
right. Like, live in the moment.
That's right. Enjoy it a little bit. Should be fun starting on Sunday against Arizona. And we'll have some playoff predictions and Super Bowl winners coming up a little bit later in the show as well. When we come back, we're going to replay an interview from the beginning of today's show. Pat Narduzzi, head coach of Pittsburgh, joined us as they take on Tennessee tomorrow at Neyland Stadium. Really fun interview with Pat Narduzzi. We'll have that for you coming up next. And speaking of the NFL, make sure you tune in to this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week is the Cleveland Browns taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Coverage begins at 2:45 with a 3:25 kickoff. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.